I'd like to start by reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. I do want to be in prayer for Sister Renee. She was in a lot of pain last night and still is this morning. So do remember her in prayer. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, we see the four functions of the Word of God. We're looking at making personal application when we study the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've shown that we can use those four functions to make personal application of what we read, what we study, what we hear. In light of those four intended functions, doctrine, which is teaching, the main subject, reproof, correction, instruction, we can ask ourselves personal questions. And again, the questions should be personal. Personal questions that apply to our heart, our attitude, our manner of living, our circumstances, our situations. So all application must be personal. All application must be specific. Again, most people are afraid to be too specific when it comes to making application, but we must be very specific. We must not just make application in mere generalities. But again, it needs to be personal, and it does need to be specific. And the things that we really need to examine the most, of course, is our heart, our attitude, because if you fix that, you'll fix the other, will take care of itself. So ask yourself questions that cause you to make honest examination. Again, there's no point in asking questions if we're not going to give honest answers. There's no point in asking questions if we're not going to honestly examine ourselves. And many times we have to carefully examine ourselves in order to answer the questions that we should be asking. We ought to ask questions that cause us to examine and cause us to see our spiritual condition, our spiritual direction. We need to, again, beware of selective application. We're all prone to do that, is to make very selective application where we know, you know, this area I'm not too bad in. We have to be careful not to just make selective application. So we want to look at some questions that we ought to ask ourselves. There's 10 of them. And again, when we read a verse of Scripture, we can ask these questions, and I believe they help in making that application. Number one is, what is the truth of whatever it is that you're reading? What is the truth that I can rest in? There's a truth in whatever passage you're reading that you can find rest in, that you can find some comfort in. Secondly, we need to ask ourselves, is there a command for me to obey. As you read a verse of Scripture. And again, the command does not have to be right out there. It can be implied. But is there a command for me? Again, it has to be personal. Is there a command for me to obey? Thirdly, is there a challenge for me to give heed to? Is there a challenge? Does this scripture challenge my heart, my mind, my life? Is there a challenge that I should give heed? Is there a promise for me to trust? Now, many people, most of the promises in God's Word are conditional. They're not just blanket promises for the most part. So when we ask ourselves, is there a promise? We need to, before we apply the promise to ourselves, we have to make sure we're living in the context of the promise. There's a lot of people throw out the promises of God to people that it doesn't apply to at all. And so we need to be careful. Is there an example for me to follow? Again, the Bible characters are our examples. These things were written for your examples. So, is there an example for me to follow? Again, it can be a negative example that we're to avoid. Be a positive example, which leads us to the next question, is there an error? Is there an error to avoid? And again, the error may not be specifically laid out. It can be implied. But is there an error for me to avoid? Is there a sin for me to forsake? Anytime we read of specific sins in the Bible, we ought to ask ourselves, and we ought to examine ourselves, is that me? Am I guilty of that particular sin? You may be, you may not be. But we need to ask ourselves that. Is there a warning? The Bible is filled with warnings. Is there a warning for me to heed? And the Bible gives warnings in several ways. Again, Bible characters, they warn us. And many examples, many illustrations in the Word of God serve as a warning. Is there an attitude for me to change? Is there an attitude for me to guard against? Or a spirit that needs to be changed? Or a spirit to be guarded against? Is there an encouragement? And again, encouragement, like the promises of God, you need to be careful. You'll always be encouraged if you just do what the Bible says. That should encourage you. In other words, if you repent of sin, that'll encourage you. You hang on to sin, there is no encouragement. So, but we need to ask ourselves, is there an encouragement? So then we can ask ourselves, as you read a passage of Scripture, just very simple questions. Am I? Am I? Do I? Whatever the passage is saying. Am I? Am I that? Do I? Do that? Have I? In the past? Have I done that, whether it be good or bad? Doesn't matter. Have I? When I? Again, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, when ye pray. When ye pray. So we need to ask ourselves, when I? When I do this, when I go to church, when I go to work, or when I go to school, or whatever. When I? We just continually ask ourselves questions. And then a question we need to always ask ourselves is, how am I going to respond to what I've just read? Or what am I going to do with what I've just read? Again, as we've said many times, every time we hear the Word of God preached, you do something with it. Every time we read the Word of God personally, we do something with it. That's true of everything you read. You do something with what you read. And so we need to ask ourselves, how am I going to respond to what I've just read? What is my response? Now, as an example, if we turn over to the book of James, chapter 1, we use this passage as an example, using the functions of the Word of God. But in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, we see some instruction concerning the hearing of the Word of God. And whatever truth is presented here, it also applies to the reading of the Word of God. What's being talked about, basically, whether it's read or heard, is you and I receiving, or what we do with the Word of God. So in James 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift or quick, ready to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So we can ask ourselves as we read those verses, is there a truth for me to rest in? And there is. And the truth is that God gives us the opportunity to hear and to receive His Word. We see that in verse 19. We see it in verse 21. So that is a truth that we can find comfort in, that we should be able to find some encouragement in. That is, God gives me the opportunity to read, to hear, to receive His Word. Is there a command for me to obey? And there is. We see in verses 19 through 22. First of all, we are to be ready to hear the Word of God, or if we're reading it, we're to be ready to read it. In other words, we're to be ready to receive the Word of God. So we could ask ourselves a question at that point, am I ready to read the Word of God? Am I ready to hear the Word of God? We can ask the question, is there a challenge for me to heed? And again, going back and reading this, you see, yes, there is, and that is to always strive to be in a condition to receive the Word of God. Because as you read this, you see that there are conditions that are not conducive. We're to receive the Word of God with meekness. In other words, if we don't have meekness, it's not conducive to receiving the Word of God. That's part of being ready, is that we must be in a condition that is conducive to receiving what we're reading, or in the context here is hearing. But we're more interested in the reading right now. So always strive to be in a condition to receive. That's one challenge. Another challenge is to receive the Word of God to the point where we make use of it in our lives. That's what he's talking about here. That you receive it to the point that you make use of it in your life. I mean, have we really received it if we don't make use of it? I don't believe we have. So we receive it to the point that it's useful to us, not just like a man looking in the mirror and ignoring what he sees. Is there a promise for me to trust in? Well, in verse 21, we see that the Word of God is able to save your soul. That's true literally in salvation, but it's true after we're saved also. The word saved just simply means deliver. The Word of God is able to deliver our soul. We can trust in that. But again, the promise is not just a blanket promise. It concerns those who receive it. If you don't receive it, the Word of God's not going to deliver your soul. You have to receive it. And those who receive it, the Word of God is able to deliver their soul. We see also concerning a promise, there is a blessing in doing that which God says. In verse 25, we see that, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. These are promises. Again, the promise is limited. It's limited to the doer. It's limited to the one who obeys what he or she has read or heard. Is there an error for me to avoid? Well, there's several errors that are mentioned in this passage. Verses 19 and 20, the error that the thinking that the wrath of man worketh the righteousness of God, that's an error. That's an error to avoid always in our lives. The wrath of man does not work or lead to the righteousness of God. Verse 21, there's another error, and that is not laying apart that which is a hindrance to receiving the Word of God. That is an error that we need to avoid. We can ask ourselves, do I lay apart that which is a hindrance to me receiving the Word of God? That's why I believe that when we read the Word of God, and this goes back to when we first started this series, is we have to spend some time in prayer before we even open the book to prepare our hearts to receive what we're about to read. So that's part of being prepared. It's also how we avoid the errors. We lay apart anything that would be a hindrance to receiving the Word of God. We see another error to avoid in verse 22 and 23. Again, talking about the man just being a hearer only. And that is a casual approach. Just a casual approach, in this case, to the hearing of the Word of God. But again, we're looking at the reading, just a casual approach to reading the Word of God. That's an error. The Word of God is not to be approached casually. Is there a sin for me to forsake? Well, there's several here in this passage. One is the sin of not preparing to receive the Word of God. That's a sin. And it's something we need to avoid. Being a hearer only is a sin, or being a reader only. Is there a warning? Again, there's several. Self-deceit. He warns against self-deceit there in verse 22. He also warns against vain religion in verse 26. Is there an attitude? Is there an attitude for me to guard against? Is there an attitude that needs to be changed? And once again, there is. The attitude here that is being rebuked is the attitude of pride and self-will. We see that in verses 19 and 20. So you see, as you ask these questions, it would more than likely you're going to get stuck on one, and you're not going to be able to go further, because you have to deal with that situation. So I don't want to leave the impression that when you study the Word of God, you have to ask all these questions. You may not get past the first one, and you have to deal with whatever it is that the question deals with. And that's profitable application. So it's again, it's not a race. We've got to ask, 10 questions. That's not it at all. But that's why when we read the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, stuck is the wrong word, but it's easy. It ought to be a habit that we get stuck on a word or a thought or an examination question. Is there an encouragement in this passage? Well, once again, there's many. One encouragement is I have opportunity to read the Word of God. I have opportunity to be benefited by the Word of God. If I have opportunity to hear the Word of God, if I have opportunity to read the Word of God, I have the opportunity to be benefited by the Word of God. So every time we open the Word of God, that ought to encourage us. What I am opening today, whatever day it is that we open the Word of God and read it, when I open that, I have the opportunity right then and there to be benefited by the Word of God. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is profitable. It's beneficial. So that's an encouragement. So we need to ask these questions, and then we can go back here in James 1 and ask, am I, do I, have I, when I hear the Word of God, when I read the Word of God, do I do this? Have I done this? And just continue to ask those questions. And by doing so, we're able to make profitable, personal application. And with that, we're done with this series on Bible study. And again, we've perhaps gone too long for many, but if you can just remember a few things, it will help you immensely in studying the Word of God. Lord willing, the next series will be the Ten Commandments. So be in prayer concerning that. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the health that you've given us to be in your house. We thank you, God, for the grace that brings us to your house and desire that you've put in our hearts to be in your house. And we do thank you, Lord, for that privilege, that opportunity. And Lord, we pray today that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to thee. Pray for the lost, that you'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.